Welcome to another episode of We Are Liverpool. We hope you're enjoying the new series so far. Today, we're going back to the late noughties and speaking to a player whose work rate and ability really endeared him to Liverpool fans.
I had a phone call from Rafa and he said, would you mind playing for Liverpool? I said, if you want, I take my bike and I come straight away. The semi-final against Chelsea, I can still see myself, you know, scoring the winning penalty. I was not playing well. I was not feeling well. I played against Inter and scored that goal. And from that moment, I was back on track.
Luis Suarez coming to Liverpool, did you have a part to play in that?
A little part. For me, he was, you know, the best striker I ever played with. I wanted always to be remembered as someone who never gave up for the team.
Dirk Kuyt back in town recently, and we wouldn't let him leave without getting him on the show to talk about his time at the club, the huge games he was such a key part of, and of course to pick out some of his highlights as well. His chat with Jan and myself is coming very shortly. First, we just want to remind you to give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts from. This will make sure you don't miss an episode when a new one drops, and give us a comment as well. Let us know what you think or who you'd like to hear from in the next couple of editions. And if you're listening on Spotify, there'll be a poll below the show description to get involved with that too. Right, let's get into the show. Here's what happened when Dirk Kuyt joined us. Dirk Kuyt is with us at the training ground in our podcast studio in the wake of Liverpool winning another Merseyside derby. We couldn't have picked anybody better, really, in the wake of your own memories of that very game.
Yeah, no, very happy to be back. Very happy to see Liverpool, you know, beating Everton. And of course, having great memories from playing the derbies myself.
Hearing the noise and the atmosphere, you had good memories at Goodison Park as well as Anfield, where those games were concerned. Does it take you back?
Yeah, no, of course it's taking me back. And, you know, I'm not the type of guy who looking back my own games and goals and stuff like that. But nowadays with social media, whenever, you know, the derby is coming along, you see some clips coming ahead of you and you see you scoring goals. And it's also the bad tackle against Neville and, you know, brings me back to those days and great memories.
What can you tell us about that day? I mean, the awarding of the penalty. Were you the designated penalty taker?
No, it was obviously a great day. Goodison Park, tough match. And actually, I wasn't supposed to be the first penalty taker. But once we get the first one, Andre Voronin, he was playing as well. He was the penalty taker at that moment. He came to me, I'm not feeling well, so you should take it. I said, okay, I'm up for it. So I took the first penalty and very happy to score it. And then, you know, afterwards, that tackle against Neville came on. I was so happy to not touch it, but even not touching him, I was expecting a red card. And thank God the referee kept me on the pitch. And then the last minutes was brilliant. We get another penalty and that made us win the derby at Goodison Park. And there's no better feeling to win a derby.
But how did you feel for the second penalty? Because it's different than the first one, isn't it? Because now you've took one, you've shown him where you want to go.
It's a bit of a mind game. You know, I already shot the ball in that corner, so you think what the keeper is thinking, and I thought I was really confident in to shoot the ball as hard as possible and low, because he wasn't, you know, the best keeper in taking the ball low. So I was a little bit lucky because he touched it, but it even felt better he touched it and it still went in.
Steven Gerrard's still on the pitch, I think, for the first one, isn't he?
Yeah. But back in the days, Rafa really liked to swap the players penalty-wise. And that day, Foranin was the first penalty taker. Afterwards, you know, Stevie was for a long time the penalty taker and I was there as well. But Rafa loved to swap the penalty taker. So, you know, to don't give the opponent too much information.
I'm just wondering how that would have gone down with Steven Gerrard. That's the biggest revelation of the lot, that Andre Voronin was a designated Liverpool taker.
Anyway, let's take you back a little bit. You obviously played in the Netherlands. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how that came about and how you ended up at Feyenoord and eventually how you came to Liverpool?
Yeah, no, I grew up as a child in Katwijk. I started to play football very young at Quick Boys. And I was there playing from the age of 5 until 17. And then Utrecht came. And they offered me, you know, a professional contract, actually for the second team, I had the opportunity to show myself. And it went quite well because after the first training session, I joined the first team because there were some injuries, scored a goal. The second game, I scored 6 goals and I was straight in the first team. So I had great years at Utrecht. And then I had the opportunity to play for Feyenoord. Yeah, one of the biggest teams in Holland. Played there for 3 years and then in 2006 at the World Cup, I had a phone call just before the World Cup from Rafa. And he said, would you mind playing for Liverpool? I said, well, if you want, I take my bike and I come straight away. He said, no, just focus on the World Cup and we come and get you. And that was, one of the best phone calls I ever had.
But there must have been more clubs interested, yeah? Because by this time, you're scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of interest, especially from the Premier League. Also in Spain, there were a few clubs interested. And the year before, Martin Jol called me and Daniel Levy called me on deadline day of the transfer window. They wanted to get me and they offered the money Feyenoord wanted to have, but I didn't feel comfortable with that because, you know, me leaving Feyenoord at the last stage, it wouldn't then be able to get another striker. And I thought if they really wanted me, they should come earlier for me. So I decided not to go. And that was also a very good decision because 1 year later I had the opportunity to play for Liverpool. And that, for me, was really a dream come true.
It all seems fairly straightforward. You got this great reputation, like Jan says, for scoring a lot of goals when you're with Feyenoord. But earlier on in your career, was there almost a doubt that maybe these bigger clubs wouldn't come for you in your home country? I was talking you maybe even becoming a fisherman.
Yeah.
Taking an apprenticeship there.
That's true. Like, you know, normally Dutch players grow up in the academies of Feyenoord, PSV or Ajax. They are scouted at a very young age, but my parents, you know, they were religious and decided to keep me at Quick Boys because they also didn't want me to play on a Sunday. So I played on a high level, but not a very high professional level. And then when I had the age of 17, you know, they came in a letter from Utrecht who wanted to sign me, what I just told. And then my parents decided that I could make my own decisions. And they gave me the letter, and before they gave me the letter, they say, okay, whatever you choose, we will support you. And it was a tough decision because you always want to respect your parents. But I decided to give it a try, to sign for Utrecht. And my parents always supported me. So on the Sundays, they went first to the church and after to to the second church, that was the stadium of the, you know, the football games we were playing at.
Such an important part of your background there. Yeah. You talk about your dad a lot. I've heard you talk about your dad an awful lot from the early years. And your record of playing so many consecutive games, I think you played something like 6 or 7 years without missing a game.
Yeah.
Does that maybe trace back to that working class background of, you know, the family works hard and you play through injuries? That's just what you do.
Well, that's how I grew up, and that's what I learned, you know, from my father and my mother, because my father was 14 when he had to join the sea to work, first of all, to get some money for his parents to make sure everyone could eat at home. Later on, my father had to take care of his own family. He was on the sea for a couple of weeks, then a couple of days home. My mother had to be alone and be there for us. So I know what it is to work very hard, and that's something, you know, my parents gave to me, that if you want to achieve something in life, you have to work very hard for it. And it doesn't matter if it is football or anything else in life, you just, you know, do everything you can. And that's what I learned. And that's, I think, what brought me a lot in football.
So what got you to Liverpool? Was it the idea that Rafa sold you in terms of how you're going to play? Or was it also something to do with the club? Because, you know, even in the Netherlands, Liverpool is a big club, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Liverpool is a very big club. It's not that, you know, Liverpool was my childhood club. But, you know, once you're watching football and you're watching Liverpool, and especially in Holland, everyone is watching the European nights, and, you know, it's an amazing club. So, you know, once Rafa calls you and he's the manager of Liverpool, yeah, then you're really, you know, privileged to have that offer from such a great and big club. But also the manager, who already followed me a lot, you know, back in the days in Valencia, he was already interested in me, and his good friend Igor Glusevic, who I played with at Utrecht, he was scouting for Rafa, and he told Rafa a long time ago, you should sign Dirk because, you know, he can play as a striker in any other position you want him to play, he will do it for you, and such a hard worker. So he did a great word for me, and you know, Rafa was convinced to get me, and very happy about that.
Were you 100% sure you could do this? Were you ready for this?
Yeah, no, sometimes people doubt me if I can achieve the next step. It was already when I go from Utrecht to Feyenoord. It was the same when I went from Feyenoord to the Dutch national team, or after to Liverpool. But I always was very convinced about myself. And one thing, like the people outside the team or the people where I was not working with, they were always doubting me. But the managers or the people I worked with, they always gave me so much confidence. Rafa was one of them, but also the other managers I was under with, they were always very respectful to me, and they, you know, they really liked me.
all of those top managers, so many of them tried to sign you. Even Jurgen Klopp, I think, was interested in you at one stage of your career. But that Dutch team that you grew up adoring, you know, the three iconic players, you ended up playing for two out of the three. And I think the third one wanted to sign you as well.
Yeah. You know, my team, when I was young, and my first ever football experience was in 1988. It was the Dutch national team who won the Euros. And in that team, there were so many great players, but three of them were playing for AC Milan. It was Frank Rijkaard, Marco van Basten, and Ruud Gullit. And Ruud Gullit was my manager at Feyenoord. I learned so much from him, and just a great guy, and was a striker as well. So very happy to play under him. Then Marco van Basten selected me for the national team. He let me make my debut for the Dutch side. And then I was at Liverpool, and there was a time Frank Rijkaard wanted me at Barcelona. But, you know, if you play for Liverpool, what you have to choose. So I was very happy to stay at Liverpool. I had such a great time here.
So what was your first impression when you get to Liverpool as a city, Liverpool as a football club, and also the Premier League? What was the kind of first things you noticed?
Well, I still remember my debut for Liverpool. It was against West Ham. I came on, and just the intensity of the game and the crowd, what is pushing you forward all the time, I just loved it. So from the first moment I came on the pitch, I think the first ball I ever had, I shot it from 35 yards or even more. And I was so just excited, and I had a lot of adrenaline inside my body, and that's actually never went away, because, you know, I think the Premier League is the best league and the biggest league in the world, but also the intensity, the fan base behind it, the Liverpool supporters, of course, but also the fans of the other teams, was always great to play these kind of matches.
But that is, of course, you, isn't it? That intensity, isn't it? That's how you played, isn't it? And the first season, it was a great success, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I was really happy with my first season. I came in, I signed on the 18th of August. It took me a while that Rafa signed me, but he promised, so he kept his word. I was happy with that. And then the first season, I play a lot, especially in the Premier League as a striker, and I managed to score 14 goals, and I was the club top scorer. So it was a great first season.
How did you have to adapt to that, though? Obviously, it's a big step up, isn't it, to play with the demands of playing every 3 days, training the way you play, like has always been the way at Liverpool.
Yeah, no, it was tough. You know, to play in the Eredivisie is something, but to change from the Eredivisie to the Premier League is a very big step. And I remember back in the days that I was, losing like 5, 6, 7, 8 kilos of weight. It's just the intensity, of the games was so high. And instead of playing once a week, I was playing every 3, 4 days on a very high physical level. So it took you a while to adapt to the league. And, nowadays, if we look to the team of Liverpool now, we've got, for example, Gakpo. He comes also from the Eredivisie, and we're expecting straight away that he will deliver. And I've think he've done really well, but it's not always easy to adapt, from another league anywhere in the world to the Premier League. We saw that, for example, with Thiago, who was, in my opinion, when he was at Bayern München, already one of the best midfielders in the world, but he still needed a bit of time to adapt to the Premier League, but also the style of playing of Jurgen Klopp, what is really intense.
And adapting to the accents as well, that must have been a challenge with Stevie and Cara in the dressing room.
Well, yeah, that was really a challenge. the first conversation I saw between Stevie and Cara was unbelievable. I couldn't understand one word. But it's something we have in Holland as well. So I was an adaptive scouser at the end.
So great personal success in the first season, and of course you end up Champions League final. You must have thought, wow.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. We had a great European experience this first season. Very good games, against Barcelona, other good teams, and especially the semi-final, against Chelsea. We get beat at Stamford Bridge 1-0. Then we had the home game against Anfield. Back in the days, if you concede a home goal, it counts for almost double. So it would be a very tough match. But we managed to have a great performance. Danny Agger scored 1-0. We went to extra time. The crowd was amazing and all behind us. And then I remembered I scored an onside goal in the extra time. But, unfortunately,
we
didn't
VAR.
Have the VAR. But okay. And then it went to penalties. And, to reach the Champions League final the way we did was something unbelievable. And unfortunately, we couldn't go it all the way.
I still remember the noise of that semi-final.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you've been in a nightclub or whatever and you can, your ears are still buzzing the next day. Yeah. I think there was legend going around for years afterwards. It was the loudest Anfield had ever been.
No, it was so intense and, still remember the noise. But also, you know, when it went to penalties, you saw Mourinho and Rafa sitting in his particular way. Everyone remembers and the fans were amazing. Actually, they were always amazing, especially European nights were unbelievable, but that night it was even more intense.
I think sometimes we can forget how big that rivalry was with Chelsea. It was a proper grudge match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is there something that happened in that game or in the aftermath that we've maybe not heard about before?
Well, back in the days, we used to play a lot against Chelsea, and not only in the league, but especially also in European nights. And also, it was already a fight between Mourinho and Rafa. They always like to have a word at each other in the pre-match conferences. So the intensity of the games was high. And, you know, like I said, we get beat at Stamford Bridge 1-0. So the game was really intense and the atmosphere at the stadium was unbelievable. But yeah, we managed to win the game and go to extra time and, you know, to win that game by penalties and the emotions of the crowd. And I can still, you know, see myself, you know, scoring the winning penalty. I was running to the left, but actually I want to run to Pepe Reina because he was managed to do the biggest job at the penalty session. And, you know, we run everywhere on the pitch. And I think, you know, Pepe was not the quickest, but I think the sprint he made from one side to the other side to the cop, it was his fastest sprint at Liverpool at his Liverpool time. And we had so much fun. And after in the dressing room, there were lots of emotions. And I remember we went all together, you know, with friends and families into town. I believe it was Sir Thomas Hotel where we were. And yeah, great memories.
What about the goal? I mean, not many people score goals in the Champions League final. Is it something you look at and think, or because we lost?
I scored many goals in my first season because I was in the Premier League always playing as a striker. But in the Champions League, most of the games I played, I was playing as a second striker. And I didn't manage to score a goal so far. So besides, you know, the penalty, what is not really an official goal, but made us go through the final. It was the Champions League goal final was my first ever Champions League goal. So it's also kind of special to score in a Champions League final, your first Champions League goal. But it was special. And what is also special to me is that afterwards, I start scoring goals in, you know, every stage, even in the playoff against Standard Liège. Yeah. I scored a goal in late in the extra time, but also in the group stage, in every final stage, I scored a goal. So pretty happy about that as well.
So you've had a great first season into the second season. And did you kind of sense that the competition for places, this is going to be really difficult to keep staying in the team and keep scoring the goals?
Yeah, no, you know, to play at Liverpool, it's something really special. And every year players are coming in to take over your position. So I managed to be the club top scorer the first season. And I remember I went on holiday to Aruba. It's like a Dutch Caribbean island where I always go on holiday. And I was lying on the beach, just relaxing, feeling comfortable. And then I read the paper and there was a guy called Fernando Torres just signed. So just went straight up and starting running just because you want to keep your place. And after the first season, you know, I was good friends with Pepe Reina. And he just came to me, he said, congratulations with your championship. I said, what do you mean? We didn't win nothing. We just lost the Champions League final. I said, every year you can be a Liverpool player. It's like a championship on your own because every year players will come in to take your position. So for me, it was unbelievable. I could play 6 years for Liverpool.
How do you look back on that, Dirk? I mean, we got to a World Cup final as well with your nation, Champions League final score, but don't take the medal, FA Cup final, not win. How do you process all of that now your career is finished?
Well, you know, I come to Liverpool to win, you know, to win some silverwares, to win trophies. I wanted to do so at finals as well. But especially when I come to Liverpool, you know, you learn actually what it's all about, winning-wise. And although we became, you know, second in the Premier League, we lost an FA Cup final, we lost a Champions League final. I left the club with some silverware, and that was winning the Carling Cup. And for me, it meant a lot because I left the club as a winner, although I became many times second. And that mentality I took with me the rest of my career. And, you know, I played after 3 years for Fenerbahce and I managed to win the Super Cup, but also the league for a long time since the club has won it. And then when I went back to Feyenoord, and we managed to win the cup in the first season, and I finished my career, you know, winning the league for the first time since 18 years. And I believe, you know, I brought my experience from what I have learned at Liverpool, what is football all about, and that you never should give up trying to win the game. But also, if you really want to achieve things, it's possible, but you have to do it together and work really hard for it.
Manager's a big believer in that here now, that he doesn't think that the success would have been possible without the experience of losing the Europa League final against Seville, that,
yeah,
you know, it's a bump in the road, but it's, you know, don't get this feeling again next year, lads.
Yeah, but it's about don't getting that feeling, but also the experience, what it is to lose games and the pain you have about, you know, training every day of the week, playing the games and not, you know, achieving what you want to achieve. And sometimes it hurts so much that it makes you work even harder to achieve your targets. And that's what's not only football, what's life about, that you never should give up your dreams and that you always have to work really hard to achieve it.
So the feeling of losing, does that hurt more than the enjoyment of winning?
Well, at the end of the day, it's the process, you know, what brings you there. So it hurts a lot when you lose, but eventually when you win, you feel so relieved and it feels so good, you know. Especially, you know, when I played my last game of my career with Feyenoord, and you know, the supporters, they are just a bit like the supporters of Liverpool. Feyenoord is also the "You Never Walk Alone" song, and if you saw the emotions of the people who waited 18 years for a championship, people were crying, and you can feel the atmosphere was so intense, and that was basically also what I was feeling, that all those years you were fighting so hard to achieve things and finally you've done it.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that the LFC store app is the best place to go for exclusive merchandise, gifts and the largest selection of playing and training wear. You'll also be the first to know about new products and exclusive offers and discounts on a regular basis for app users only. Head over to your app store, download it and see what's on offer today. Now let's get back to the show. Rafa Benitez there, is he a genius?
For me, he is definitely one of the best managers I ever had. I always say that, Bert van Marwijk was really important for my career because he brought me to Feyenoord and he was the Dutch national team coach, you know, who always put me in the team. But Rafa and Louis van Gaal were, I think, the best managers I ever had. And Rafa was so detailed and so important for my career. As a player, he always gave me a lot of confidence, but he was also tactically, for me, very strong.
What was that detail, that tactical detail? Give us an insight into what made him so different.
No, we just were talking about the penalties that, like, you know, he's always changing, you know, players to take penalties, to not give the opponent too much information. I remember that I've took a lot of penalties and, you know, he was already, you know, having these video clips of goalkeepers of the last 10 penalties they tried to save, which corners they're going by, right-footed player or a left-footed player. So he was very detailed. And, you know, I also remember once we played Chelsea and a couple of days before the game, he starts to get me and Crouchy and Jermaine Pennant about, you know, a tactical stuff we should do and we practice in training. And we really didn't know what he was meaning by that, and we did it again and did it again. And then on the day of the match, one of the first movements, Pennant, you know, brings the long ball to Crouchy. I jump over Crouchy, get the ball and score a goal, exactly like the way we trained it. And that was what was Rafa all about. And he was always, you know, taking all the players within it, because with Rafa you never know if you were playing or not. So all the team, not even the starting 11, but all the players know exactly what he expected from the team and also individual from the players.
How important was he in that second season then? Because you spoke about scoring all the goals that you did in the first season. Off the pitch, you had a really tough time. You were in the process of losing your dad at that point. These are the things that we as fans don't always see, the struggle that goes on away from the pitch.
No, that's why Rafa is meaning a lot to me, because in the first season I did very well and my father still lived, but he was very ill at the moment. The last game he ever saw of me was the Champions League final, and after, unfortunately, he passed away. And that gave me afterwards a really tough time. I was not playing well, I was not feeling well, And there was a point, Rafa was taking me out of the team. So he brought me up to his office in Melwood and he said, listen, I'm going to take you out of the team. And not only out of the team, also out of the squad. Take your time a little bit, recover from everything, what happens to you. And, you know, maybe it takes a week, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month, maybe even longer. But whenever you're ready, I put you straight back in the team. And at the time, you know, it was very emotional because I was, you know, type of guy, learned from my father to never give up. But at that moment, I need a bit of time to recover from everything what happened. And he gave me that time. And as soon as I was recovered, and still remember it very well, it was a week before the Champions League game against Inter at home. He started playing me and he said, I think you're ready. And I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. So I played the game. And then the second game, I played against Inter and scored that goal. And from that moment, I was back on track. And sometimes you need that confidence from a manager, but also a manager who says, okay, now it's enough. Take a bit of a break. Recover from everything what you need to recover from and keep going. And Rafa was really important for me.
Did you ever think during those difficult times that this would be much easier to deal with if I was back home? Maybe think and go back and play in the Dutch league again and move back
home? But that's what was my father learned me, is that, you know, when I had the opportunity to sign for Liverpool, my father was already ill. So it was a very tough decision to make. Will I, you know, stay with my dad or in Holland, or will I go abroad? But at the other end, you know, he was not only my father, he was also my biggest fan. So to give him the opportunity of him seeing me playing for Liverpool was also something very big. And yeah, my father was maybe even more tough than me, more of a harder worker than me, because, you know, he was very ill, but still came every game to watch me. I remember he had treatments, and there was a certain point he was recovered from the treatments, and it was in the first year of my Liverpool time. And then he had cancer. The cancer came back, and I was really gutted. And I already booked my tickets home. I had to play the weekend for Liverpool, booked my tickets home. I want to go to Holland. I said, I'm coming now. I said, no, don't worry, son. I already booked the tickets. I come to you. So whenever he was very ill, you know, he just learned me never to give up. And he just wanted me to keep going, doing what I was doing. And, you know, that's what it's all about, I think.
You made him proud beyond that, didn't you?
Which, yeah,
as Jan alludes to there, sometimes they're big moments in your career.
Yeah.
You know, you stay and fight and you stay and make him proud.
Yeah.
Or perhaps maybe choose a different route and a different club.
Yeah, but there. That's, you know, what I, you know, also try to learn my own children is to never give up.
Yeah.
You know, it's always easy to give up and to say, okay, I go back home now. I want to be with my father. But even my father was very ill. You know, he had not long to live, but he still decided not to give up and keep going. And that's, I think, what life is all about. And that's the best thing he could ever learn me.
Tell us a little bit about the strikers Liverpool bought while you were at Liverpool. Fernando Torres?
Yeah, Fernando was amazing. You know, I played the first season as a striker most of the time with Crouchy or Bellamy. But then Fernando came, and I think what he showed at Liverpool was unbelievable. I think he had the best time of his career. And he was, at that time, one of the best strikers. And I started to play on the right, and I really enjoyed the days playing on the right, having Fernando as a striker. And that season, Stevie was, you know, playing more offensive as a midfielder, more as a second striker, as a number 10. And these two are scoring goals for fun. So it was really enjoyable, you know, seeing them playing so well. I think at that moment, our team was great. Fernando up front, Stevie behind. We had Mascherano, we had Alonso, you know, Jamie in the back with Hippia and Agger, Pepe Reina on the goal. We had a great team. And I think that was a little bit the frustration maybe of Fernando, but also maybe of Stevie and other players, that if we could have kept that team and maybe add one or two, you know, little puzzles, what we needed in the team that made us make the step to win the Premier League. And yeah, Fernando for me was... Yeah, the way he was scoring goals that season I played with him was unbelievable. You know, he was so quick, and always his aim was to the goal. And yeah, he's a great guy also in coaching. So, you know, he was playing against the Feyenoord Youth Academy and he asked me the team. So we're still in contact. And yeah, for me, you know, people, I think, didn't like that he go to Chelsea, but he's still a Liverpool legend because everyone saw that, you know, his time as Liverpool was his best time as a football player. But afterwards, Luis Suarez came, and you know, for me, he was, you know, the best striker I ever played with. What an unbelievable player. And there's such a difference between Lewis on the pitch and off the pitch, because, you know, on the pitch, he is a warrior, not only in the games, but also in training. But off the pitch, he's just such a great guy, very easygoing, family man, drink his cup of tea and, you know, that's it. So, you know, great character as well.
It actually looks like it doesn't bother you that they brought in Fernando Torres and Suarez to maybe take your place. You then became almost a right winger, but yeah, you enjoyed just being part of it all.
Yeah, no, for me, I was not a striker who lived really by the goals. I was top scorer in Holland. I was the club top scorer for Liverpool, scored goals in every team I played for. But for me, it was more about winning. You know, I always played with very good players. If I look back to the Dutch national team in 2010, they, you know, were speaking about the big four back at the days. And the big four was Wesley Sneijder, Rafael van der Vaart, Robin van Persie and Arjen Robben. And actually, there was no place for me, but I felt I was always a connection between very, very good players. And they always, in one kind of way, they needed me. And that's what I felt, you know, with Fernando and Stevie as well. You know, they were the main guys scoring the great goals. And I was, you know, there to support them and also still scoring very important goals. And I did the same with the Dutch national team. You know, with that big four, there was always ending up one of the big four on the bench, but I was playing. And I think that was my biggest strength, that I was like, how you say, if you have the cake, the ingredients you need, I was that part that the team needed.
You're the glue that puts the glue team together,
the glue,
isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you talk about your role, but when you were at Liverpool, were there some players that was maybe underrated? I mean, could you tell about some of the players that were not the biggest stars, but you thought, wow, these guys are really important?
I played with many, many great players, and I think, you know, Xabi Alonso, Mascherano. I think Mascherano was quite underrated at his Liverpool time, because he was such an important player in that team at the moment. But also when we became second in the Premier League, we had that year after with Xabi leaving, Mascherano leaving, but also people forget that Arbeloa was leaving. And I thought he was also a very important player at the time. And I always felt that, you know, that year we became second, instead of if we didn't saw Alonso, Mascherano and Arbeloa, but kept them and maybe improved the team with two players like Jurgen did back in the days when he signed Virgil van Dijk and Alisson. That would brought us, you know, the league title. But that's football. We still had a great experience.
Mm. You both played for Kenny Dalglish. One of the stories I can remember him telling us a couple of years ago was about a time where you were going through a bit of a rough spell. You told all the players to bring their passports with them for a midweek game. It took you away.
Yeah.
You know, you had this time together. You were singing karaoke. You go on to win 6 games in a row. Not that much has changed over the years is the point. Sometimes you just need to be together as a group of lads and sort it all out and have a drink and a conversation together.
Yeah, no, what Kenny did at that time was brilliant. He took us, I believe it was Spain or Portugal, and we just had a great time together and brought the team together. And it's also, you know, football is also emotion. So your feelings are very important. So when the feeling is negative, you bring it on the pitch. But when you have a positive time outside the pitch together, you can take it onto the pitch. And that's exactly what he did. You know, we had a good week there. We had a win and a win and a win. And suddenly we were back in it. I said many times about Steven Gerrard and Jamie Carragher that they are like the real DNA of the football club. When you come in as a player, they show you exactly what is expected from a Liverpool player. But Kenny was exactly the same. You know, he's like the DNA of the club. And he was a great manager, but he's also a great human being. You know, whenever I come now back to the games and he sees me, he calls me over, we drink a cup of tea and he asks me how I'm doing, asks me about my family. And that's also what Liverpool is all about. It's more than a football club.
Mm. They really needed him at both spells when he took over, didn't they? Joe Fagan, Kenny, the transition, Roy Hodgson leaving in 2010. Yeah. He almost felt a little bit like a knight in shining armour. We needed Kenny Dalglish at that time.
Yeah, no, it says also everything about Kenny, because it's not easy to take over a team in that situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, the player he was for Liverpool, the manager he was for Liverpool, and still, you know, the person he is for the club, to step into that and to do it the way he did it is like, you know, it says everything about him.
Mm.
great respect for him.
You've got a lot of great moments, haven't you, in your Liverpool career. Is there anyone we missed out on? Van der Sar, Manchester United?
Yeah, that was a good one. Edwin is a good friend of mine. He struggled a little bit with his health and lately, but thank God it's going better with him. So he's recovering well. I think that's also very important in life, your health. But he's a good friend of mine. We used to play for years together in the Dutch national team. But to score a hat-trick against United and against him, in my opinion, one of the best keepers at that moment, yeah, was an unbelievable feeling to score the hat-trick in front of the cup. Is something I never forget. And although it was an hat-trick from a very short distance, still very happy with it.
Is the feeling for you, or do you more feel for the fans because you know how much it means to them?
Well, at the moment, I've always been a striker, but always played on several positions. And for me, I love to score a goal, especially a very important goal. But for me, it was always more important to win the games. And when you win and you've been important for the team, there's no better feeling. But if you play a game, Liverpool, Manchester United, you manage to win the game and you score a hat-trick, yeah, then you know what it means to the fans, and especially when you go out in town the night of the time after the match.
It sort of changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's still that when you play football, you're just in a kind of tunnel. You're just focusing on the games, and you win against United, and you have to go to the next one, and you have to go to the next one. But after your career, you have time, to think about these things, and you have the time to travel and. Like for example, this weekend you come to Liverpool and you see so many fans, and they still remind you of that, that game against United where you scored a hat trick and when you win, and then what kind of dream you live.
Mm. We had Trent on a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Jan? And he was talking about the inevitability of the atmosphere building in a game where he feels that sometimes you can look at opposition players,
yeah,
and they know it's coming. Yeah. They know that goal is coming, and there's nothing they can do about that. Is that something you felt as well as a Liverpool player?
It's many times, like when I was a player, it's difficult to judge what the crowd is doing with you. But we played in the Champions League years. We played against Barcelona, where we had a great game and battered them. But we also had a game, I remembered, Real Madrid. We beat them by a goal from Yossi Benayoun in the Bernabeu, but they still had to come to Anfield, and it was a team with Wesley Sneijder and Arjen Robben and a couple of more Dutch lads. And Real Madrid was a really good team at the moment. And they, I was talking with them, how we come to Anfield and we make things right. And then I believe we won the game with 4-0 or 4-1 or something. And after the game, they explained what the crowd did to that team. And these were, proper players, used to win, the league, used to win Champions League, but they were not used to play such an intense crowd, and they knew that it was coming. And that brings me to a moment. I was, I think 2 years ago, went to a game of Liverpool. Liverpool was not playing so well for like 15 minutes, and my friends were next to me, this is going to be a tough game. I said, wait a couple of minutes till the crowd comes up, and it happened. The crowd comes behind the team. 5 minutes later, it was 2-0 for Liverpool. And that's really the strength of Liverpool Football Club. It's like, what the supporters can do to a team. It's immense. And when I look back to my own performances now, it make me, feel fly over the pitch. And I was a player who never give up, but also, the supporters made me to do it, because whenever I was feeling tired, the crowd is always behind you.
Have you experienced that anywhere else? I mean, Feyenoord?
Yeah.
Or when you were in Turkey, or even with the Dutch national team?
No, I experience, of course, at Feyenoord. It's like, also, they're very great fan base. But to be honest, the Liverpool supporters are the most intense I ever had. And in Fenerbahce, the fans are very emotional. So when it's going well, they are right behind you. When it's going not so well, they can give you a lot of stick. But, Liverpool supporters are always behind the team. It doesn't matter in what situation you are, they're always behind the team. And that's what makes them so special.
How big was the Carling Cup win for you? I know you spoke about it at the start there in terms of how it set you up for the rest of your career and winning with other clubs too. But is that still a memory you treasure and your part in getting us to winning trophies again?
Yeah, no, that was really important for me, because I thought, my time at Liverpool, we were very successful. But at the end of the day, if you don't have silverware, you not really get remembered. You know, we played so many good games against Barcelona, against Madrid, against Inter Milan, the biggest sides in Europe. Also, great derby wins, great wins against Manchester United. But at the end of the day, you want something that you can hold in your hands. So I was really happy with that trophy. And it's also great to see like the likes of Steven Gerrard and Jamie Carragher, who won many cups, but they were also so happy with that win. And that's also what Liverpool about, you know. You are there to win as many things as possible every day, you know. The same in training, you have to win always. So I was very happy to leave the club with at least a trophy.
Mm. How difficult was that to leave the club?
Yeah, no, it was very, very difficult because I just told my respect for Kenny Dalglish, but actually, you know, he didn't let me play as much as I wanted to in my last season for Liverpool. So that made me the decision to go. Not that I wasn't respecting Kenny, but I wanted always to be remembered as the guy who gave everything on the pitch. And I hated to be, you know, on the bench, and I didn't want to remember as the player who stayed there forever but not playing many games. So it was the toughest decision because I wanted to stay as long as possible for Liverpool, but I wanted to be the player on the pitch. And that time, you know, they had Henderson, who was playing in my position. There was a transition in the team, and I felt it was the right moment to go.
Were you disappointed, though, when first Liverpool buy Henderson, and then you get the idea,
yeah,
I'm not going to be playing as much as... And did you still think, I can still do this?
Yeah, no, I always had the feeling that, you know, I should be on the pitch. I think that's something you always should have as a player. But especially the start with Kenny when he signed Suarez and Andy Carroll and Jordan Henderson. So in the beginning, when Suarez came, so it was in the winter break, I started to play with Lewis, and I was scoring 6 goals in 6 games in a row. And I think that the second half of that season, we had the most points in the league. So I had a very good partnership with Luis Suarez. But then, you know, the next season, players were starting to getting fit. Andy Carroll was starting to get fit. Jordan Henderson was playing more often. So I just was losing my place. And that's what I mean. It's like every year is a championship on your own if you, you know, manage to stay on the pitch. And yeah, sometimes, you know, you feel you can do more, but at the end of the day, it's the decision of the manager. And Kenny made the decision he made because I think he thought it was the best decision.
It's a perfectly rounded journey, though, isn't it? We spoke about the very start of you getting the break from, you know, Feyenoord. It was a massive break for you at the time. And then you end up all of the way back there at the end of your career, playing a seismic role in bringing back the title after such a long wait. A little bit of luck involved in perhaps how you played in that final game.
Yeah, no, it's like you can speak about tactics, you can speak about details, you can speak about everything, but at the end of the day, always need a little bit of luck to achieve things. And the week before Heracles, when we managed to win the championship, we played Excelsior, and Excelsior at the time was already relegated. Everyone knew we will be the champion, and suddenly we get beat 3-0. I was not playing the last couple of weeks. I lost my place, so was not happy about that, but okay, it happened. And then 5 minutes before the end of the game, the player who was playing in my position gets a yellow card, what made him suspended for the last game of the season. And that's the reason I was playing the last game, or I wasn't even playing. So without that little bit of luck, it might have been a completely different story.
You score after 20 seconds.
Yeah, I was 41, I guess. Yeah, but it was unbelievable. The crowd was so intense, and the people really nervous, and there was a lot of emotion. And after 46 seconds, the ball was in, and it was one of the best feelings I ever had when I scored a goal.
Looking back at the footage, I see you looking up to the sky as you're walking out.
Yeah,
your dad's probably etched in your memories at that point.
Yeah, no,
I'm so proud of you.
To be honest, I didn't know where I was. I was so happy, and it was so intense, but. You know, always I carry him, of course, with me. And somehow you feel that he's somewhere watching with you. So hopefully, he saw the goals in that championship final game.
There's been a lot of those big blockbuster games in your career, Liverpool-Everton, Liverpool-Manchester United, the derbies in Turkey, and of course, Feyenoord and Ajax. Which one is your favourite?
The Feyenoord-Ajax derbies are nowadays... away supporters are not even allowed, so they are intense. I really liked also the Liverpool Man United, but to be honest, the the Liverpool Everton derbies I like most, because the point is, when you just a week before, and I was living in Walton, just so I was living in Liverpool, you know, you go on the streets, you bring your kids to school, and people start to talk about the derby, and you meet Reds, you meet Evertonians, and everyone, you know, give a little bit of stick to each other. So the build up is amazing. And then, you know, I drove always to Melwood just a couple of hours before the game, and you see, you know, people in red, people in blue, and just that intensity of the build up to a game. I really enjoy that. But I once won a derby and I scored a winning goal against Galatasaray, Fenerbahce Galatasaray. But yeah, the intensity of winning a derby there is unbelievable, because after the game there were millions of people on the street and they celebrated like a championship on its own. So that was the most intense derby I ever played.
This is probably the first time in your life you've been out of football, probably since the age of 17. You probably feel as though you need that little bit of time out to reassess, but still a really young man. Is it management? Is it TV? What's the next journey for you?
Well, after my career, I've done my badges. I finished them now. It took me, in Holland, it takes like 3 years, but because of the Corona, took a little bit longer. I had experience with Feyenoord on the 19s, the U team. And then last year, I had my first spell at ADO Den Haag. Like a championship team in Holland, it didn't work out quite well, but I learned a lot from it, and I'm looking now for a new opportunity as a manager. But I, you know, understand the decision what team it will be is very important, because I don't think you get many chances, you know, to do well as a manager. And in the meantime, I'm traveling a lot, doing a lot of work for Liverpool. I love to stay in touch with a lot of people. I have a good relationship with Pep, Pepijn Lijnders. So to connect with people and, you know, to watch different style of players, playing styles of teams, to meet with other people, it's something good at the moment. And whenever a good job opportunity as a manager comes up, I'm ready to take it.
Managers has been etched throughout this, and all ex-players say they'd love to play for Jurgen Klopp. I think there's probably fewer players better suited to the way he plays than you. Was coming to your mind every now and then, that had been perfect for his team.
He's a great inspiration for me. You know, I'm you know, a young manager, want to become a good manager, and great inspiration. But of course, you think about the way he's playing, his style of playing, the intensity, the way he likes to press teams on their own half. I would love to play under him, but also really like to, you know, to watch how he's playing now.
Should we finish with some quick fire questions?
Okay.
It's been great spending some time with you, but let's go to best goal you scored in a Liverpool shirt. What would be the outstanding one?
The best? Well, the most emotional one was, because I told the story of my dad, is that the goal I scored against Inter. So I had a very tough period and scored a very important goal in Champions League. And it was a good goal, but you know, the feeling I had after was a very special feeling.
Most nervous you've been before a game?
Somehow I was never nervous. The bigger the occasion, I better I felt, and I really needed that, you know, that fire in your belly, the adrenaline of the games. And I never had a nervous feeling in games.
Luis Suarez coming to Liverpool, did you have a part to play in that?
A little part. From the moment I heard that Liverpool was interested in Lewis, of course, you know, I was very curious of the club was getting him, and I know they were struggling in the fee Ajax want to get for him. So somehow the negotiations weren't going very well, and I said, "Do you need any help?" Because, you know, I know a lot of people in Holland, especially I know the club. But they said, they're asking too much money, and you know, we can't get around the table. And I said, okay, you know, my agent, who is a good friend, let's get him involved, because he knows the board of Ajax, he knows the people very well there. So he went there as intermediate. Yeah. So he did the intermediate without getting any money, to be honest, because it was not about the money, just a favor for Liverpool. And he managed to, you know, to brought two clubs together and also the agents of Lewis together. And it was sorted out very quickly.
Another assist.
Another assist. But, you know, I owe him, especially after the first goal I made with the hat-trick against Man United, because actually it was his goal.
Is there something you learned or found in Liverpool when you came here that you didn't know about before you'd stayed? Might be food, a word. Can't pick a bar. Probably all
can't
gone
pick
now.
A bar. I learned many things back in the days. We had Radio City, and I remember that that I said to Kara when, you know, he was right with something, and I said, "Is right, Rossi lad?" I was on the radio always. So, but we had many things. I learned many things from Liverpool.
Yeah. And let's finish with the obvious one. How would you want Liverpool fans to remember you?
As a player who loved to play for the club and for the supporters, and as someone who never gave up for the team.
Good way to finish. Great to see you.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully we'll be seeing Good an awful lot here. More of you in, yeah. in Liverpool over the next couple of years.
I hope so.
But thanks for spending some time with us. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks' time. In the meantime, make sure you give us a follow or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts from. And remember, there's a host of previous episodes for you to go back and enjoy before we return. We hope to see you next time.